I'm believing God to touch us tonight with the move of His Spirit. See, I believe there is an answer to the onslaught of the devil. How many of you understand two things? We are very close to the end of time. And because of that, Satan understands the end is near. I can show you how Satan fights by looking to the people he inspired in this world. When Adonai Bezek was on the verge of being taken, he tried to make an assault with what troops he had left and ended up losing it. Adonai Bezek was an acquired name. He was a king who was a very ferocious fighter, but he was called Adonai Bezek because he called the Lord Lightning because of the way he fought. It's not an accident that a few thousand years later, a fella comes along, gets thrown out of school because he's too ignorant to learn, joins the military during a war, can't get any higher than corporal because they said he's too stupid to lead. War's over. He joins a political party and gets thrown in jail while marching against the government because he's too slow to get away. He wasn't a leader. He was just in the party. They put him in prison. And in prison, he gets to talking to someone. In a book called Mein Kampf, for my struggles, he wrote, an angel of light appeared to me nightly and began to give me visions of leadership and grandeur and gave me a plan to rule the world. You know, he got out of prison. Within 6 months, he was head of that political party. And within a year, he was a leader of his country by election. And he won by such a landslide that he declared himself supreme ruler. Or die Führer. He convinced the German people they were the master race and he wasn't even German. He was Austrian. You know, he'd never been to military school. They were awed at his ability to design a battle plan. And it was battles that he used. The work he used was called the Blitzkrieg or the lightning strike. Now, I have to tell you who was helping him learn how to fight. And in the throes of World War II, when all was lost, what did he do? The same thing Adonai Bezek did. He attacked when he should have been defending himself. We call it the Battle of the Bulge. The only thing that kept him from actually winning that battle was he stretched his military out so far they could not keep logistics up and his tanks ran out of gas. And so I understand that if I'm living in the last days and Satan understands I'm almost gone, he's going to put up one last attack that's going to go against every family and every home and every heart and every soul. And we live in that day in which we're seeing that attack come. And because of that, there's disruption in all things that God is trying to do. The only thing to stop that onslaught is an outpouring of God. See, I have the word of God that says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God shall raise up a standard against him. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. 2 Kings, chapter 2. Believe in God for an outpouring of his Spirit tonight to touch us and minister to us. There will be prayer meeting tomorrow night. I had someone come by and say, well, you won't be here, but I will. There will be prayer meeting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And if God wills and everything works right, Sister Stroop and I will be leaving sometime tomorrow night, going to the state prayer conference in Mobile. We'll be gone for a few days, so just be praying for us that we'll get down and get saved. Glory. I went to Brownsville one time and spent about 2 hours on the floor. Some guys helped me back to the car and drove me halfway home before I come to myself. One of them said, I believe you got saved. One of them guys said, miracles never cease. Glory. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2 And it came to pass that when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were in Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here. I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were in Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away the master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here in the land of the Jordan. For the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, and he wrapped it together, and he smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass that when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and it parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were in the view of Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elijah. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us tonight. Lord, make us to sit in heavenly places with you and give us a move of your divine spirit. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them in the eye and say, hey, I'm going to get it tonight. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight for just a few moments on a subject I'm simply going to entitle The Anointing for the Elisha Generation. This is one of the most spectacular stories of Scripture. It's the changing of the guard, so to speak, and the passing of the mantle. It's the transfer of the anointing of one generation to the next. It must be that the next generation take up the mantle of the former generation for the Bible to keep moving and for God's word to keep moving. The problem we have in the church is there's too many people today that do not wish to take up the mantle and to walk with the mantle. Could you say amen? Praise God. I'm going to challenge people tonight that can minister and let Elijah generation become alive in us tonight. See, I believe every one of us has something we can do for God. If we can just get the anointing of God in our life and turn our face toward him, I believe there is something God can use us for in this last day to see a move of God. I am not one that believes the church is going to fall apart. I've heard people say, the church ain't nothing like what it used to be. It is if you let God have his way. Amen. I've been to churches where they're falling apart and the preachers are telling them this ain't going to get no better. But I got news for you. My Bible said when Jesus comes, he's going to find a bride adorned for her husband. It's not going to be drugged down the street, tore apart, half dead, no oxygen. But that bride's going to be alive and it's going to be full of the anointing of God, because I believe the last day outpouring is coming and I believe we're ready to be in the middle of it. And because of that, I want the transference of the anointing. I want an anointing for this Elijah generation. I want God to move in my life and use me like he's never done before. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Now notice, not everyone wants the mantle. The seventh verse of the second chapter, and the 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood, viewed afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. Not everybody's willing to pay a price to get the anointing. Oh, they followed them from Bethel down to Jericho, to the resting place, to the oasis. And they followed them from the oasis down to the Jordan. But they stood at the Jordan and watched as it crossed, because they weren't willing to go on into the other side, because it might cost too much to get the anointing. And they didn't want to go over there. Amen. See, the school of the prophets is a great thing, but we got too many people that wants a title and no responsibility. Hello? Come on, church, smile at me. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, we're in a crisis in the church world, especially denominational churches. We don't have enough people getting into ministry to fulfill the pulpits of our churches. Hello? Somebody said, what are you talking about? Well, we got guys with license, but that don't mean they're preachers. I'll never forget when they finally taught me into quit bootlegging. Those are what that is. I was preaching without license. And I was having a big time. I didn't have to send in any reports. I didn't have to do none of that. I was just preaching. I thought that's all you needed to do. They kept telling me, you need to get licensed. You know, if I'd have been smart, I'd have got them when I started, could have got my ordination a whole lot earlier. But because I waited, I had to wait an extra 3 years to get my ordination because I didn't get to the right timeline. Hello? And I'm bootlegging, having a good time. They finally taught me into going to the state office, and I walked in that state office, and the overseer had an old gruff voice that might run you crazy. He just talked to you in fear. I'd hate to have been a demon, have him trying to cast me out. I'd have been afraid before he'd done anything but said something. They took us in this conference room. There's about 8 or 9 of us. I was already in full-time ministry. He said, how many of you guys want to go full-time? And me and a couple other guys raised a hand. He said, the rest of you young men go home. We got enough men doing nothing. And he would not let them take the test. And I'm going, oh, I'm glad I raised my hand. Glory. Nowadays, they're open for anybody. If you can pass the exam and pass the interview and meet the qualifications, they'll send you through. Glory. And we got to where we were licensing everybody. And then we put in this thing called CAMS. Somebody asked me one time, said, why'd you vote for them to put CAMS back in after we got rid of the other thing? Because we had another thing before that called MAPS. And MAPS and CAMS are basically the same thing, but they've done away with MAPS from the general, so we voted in CAMS in the state. Somebody said, why? I said, because we would give people license, and 6 months later we'd pull them because they wasn't doing anything, they wasn't reporting, and they really didn't want to be in ministry. And the whole idea of CAMS is to ask you, do you really want to do what you said you wanted to do? Amen. Do you know, since we've cut people through CAMS, over 70% of them keep their papers. The problem is we got less and less people want to pay a price to get those papers. And that's the problem with the ministry. It's not easy. It's not just something you decide you want to do and go out there and do it for a while and quit. You either got to dedicate your life to it or it's never going to amount to anything. I've had people tell me, said, oh, I want to do so and so. Then sell out to it. Let it be your life's calling. And if you do, God will use you in it. Could you say amen? Somebody said, well, that don't affect me. God hadn't called me. You ain't read your Bible. To as many as he called, gave you the power to become the sons of man. Amen. You say, what are you getting at? If you are saved tonight, God called you. And if he called you, it's because you got something in your life you can do for him. You need to find out what it is and sell out to it and let God use you to the fullness of his ability. There could be Elijah sitting all in this building that needs to get a hold of an anointing from another generation and say, God, I don't want what they had. I want more, but I got to pay the price to get it. Could you say amen? Oh. Your old garments won't work anymore. Hello? Notice this, Elijah saw it and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more and he took hold of his clothes and he rent them in two. You imagine being so upset you just tore your clothes off of you? Huh? He just walking around with his diaper on. Glory. Well, they wore something akin to that under their cloak. He rips that thing up, throws it down, and he's standing there going, I can't stand it. This ain't no good anymore. Let me tell you something, friend. If you dedicate yourself to God, the first thing you got to realize is life ain't going to be the same anymore. Hello? You can't sell out to God and keep trying to walk in the world. I used to have a hard time in ministry. I'm like everybody else. I'd get upset when here I am paying a price evangelizing in Alabama, and they bring some whippersnapper in from another state and stick him on the program. And I'd be like, wait a minute. I've been here. What's that dude doing on the program? This is back in the 70s. I was running full-time revivals. They were bringing people in, ain't never been to Alabama, put them on the state program. And what would make me mad was they were supposed to preach so much, these guys wasn't preaching that much. I mean, I actually had some of them rival me to revival. And they were state evangelists and I wasn't. Hello? Some of y'all said, well, that don't mean nothing to me. Some of y'all get mad because somebody got voted into a Sunday school class you wanted and you didn't have enough to put your name in for it. Glory. Hello? And I was getting upset. I'd get mad. I had a guy from my home church got out, and man, revivals was popping up all over him, and I knew he wasn't even living right. Hello? And don't look at that. I'm not judging. I knew the boy. Guys was chasing him around like he's the hottest commodity on the street. I'd be talking to guys. I said, man, looking forward to being with you. Well, I booked so-and-so. I heard you took a church. Hello? I got so upset that I literally made up my mind to leave ministry because I didn't think it was worth it anymore because it wasn't fun anymore. Hello? I made it to the Louisiana camp meeting with my mind made up. I was going to work the next week. Had a pretty good job lined up. The Holy Ghost got a hold of me in that meeting and turned my life around. And made me realize that once I sold out to God, I set a course. And there wasn't any way to get off that course without getting out of the will of God. And I couldn't get out of the will of God without getting out of the love of God. And I couldn't get out of the love of God and make it to an eternity with God. And I'll never forget, God spoke to me and said, where are you going? I said, I don't know, I'm just going. Well, what are you going to do when you get there? I don't know, but I'm getting away from here. And then he said something I never thought about till that night. He said, don't you understand that wherever you go, I'm already there? And you're never going to get away from my calling, and you're never going to get away from my love, and you're never going to be happy till you sail back out to me. Now, why don't you turn around now and let me take control? You know, for some reason, God began to book me up revivals, and for some reason, the rest of my life, I didn't worry about nobody else. I didn't worry about what they were doing or what they had going on in their life, but God began to open doors for me I never thought would open, begin to move in my life like I never thought he would move in my life. When I finally sold out to him and got back where he needed to be, where he could carry me where I needed to go. But can I tell you, I couldn't keep doing the things I was doing and get different results, and it's the same way with some of you. You cannot keep doing the things you're doing and expect life to ever change. But if you'll get rid of the old clothes and put on the new, I got a God that's got somewhere he'll take you and something he'll do in your life with a fresh anointing. Could you say amen? We live in a cultural clash. We got young folks don't have nothing to do with the old folks. We got old folks don't have nothing to do with the young folks. If I've heard it one time, I've heard it 1,000. I don't like their songs. Hello? Don't look at me because I didn't hear it somewhere else. I heard it right here. We need to sing more of our songs and not all their songs. And it ain't just old folks talking about the old song. We got young folks don't want to sing the old songs. Can I tell you that if you can't get a little bit of Elijah and mix it with Elijah, you ain't going to have nothing when it's over with. But if you can get a hold of the old and mix it with the new, you can see God begin to move with a fresh anointing that can be twice as powerful as what used to exist. You say, wait a minute, preacher, that's not how it works. That's exactly what happened when the church nearly came apart years ago when they started singing them newfangled things called hymnals and wouldn't sing out of the Bible anymore. And the church like to fell apart because the old folks didn't want to let go of what they had. And the young folks didn't want what the new folks had. But can I tell you, we've got to make that transition today just like they made it then. And if we do, we got a God that's going to pour out his blessings and his power and his anointing in the church. Amen. I told you I evangelized long enough, I came around my pocket. I got some of you looking at me. Well, bless God, I don't like that preaching. Hey, I don't like your attitude, so we'll get together on it. Glory. I'm about to sing that song I got leaving on my mind. I done seen some looks that said to me, boy, you better wake. No. Church, is it not the truth? Elijah understood something. That's the reason why he was following Elijah. He understood, I don't care what it costs, what I got to go through. If I lose this guy, I'm going to lose it all. But if I can hang on to him until he goes, what happens is I get his anointing plus my anointing, and it's twice as much, and that's what I need. Can I tell you, I don't need my grandfather's anointing. My pawpaw got the Holy Ghost when he was 12 years old, 97 years old when he passed away, 85 years filled with the Holy Ghost. I never forget one morning in his living room, we were praying before I went to church. I said, God, give me my pawpaw's anointing. He slapped me up back the head. He said, boy, you don't need my anointing. It won't help you today. You need something for now, and it's more than I ever had. Some of y'all still hung up on the singing. Glory. See, I believe you ought to keep the standards of holiness, but be willing to make changes to the relevant and the reach of our society. Hello? I'm moving on. Elijah's anointing must be stronger because his generation is harder to reach. Let's face it, church. Some of us came up in a naive generation. Some of y'all may get mad, but when you were kids, there wasn't nothing on TV like what you see. Some of you didn't even have TV when you was kids. Come on, church. I remember we finally got a television. Black and white. You turn it on, 20 minutes later, it finally show up. Glory. Had to get all them tubes heated up in the back. Glory. And we didn't have to worry about watching TV. There wasn't but two or three channels. Glory. Well, I like to die when I come out with UHF. I was so excited about it, I still got my TV. Glory. I'm serious. Frieda and I got married, and I bought a TV with UHF channels on it. I still got that TV in my TV room watching it right now. People walk in and look and say, where'd you get that? I bought it new. Glory. It's a 29-inch console color and still works. Glory. But I remember we had to go up and put a special antenna on the antenna. Looked like a grill with a bow tie on it. And all of a sudden, I could get three more channels. It was awesome. I had TV to select from now, so just going in watching the same thing. Hello? But even then, you didn't see on TV what you see on TV now. And let's face it, in the daytime, we didn't stay in a house walling around eating cookies and drinking milk and playing some game thinking we was a military guy fighting a war and thinking I'm a Green Beret. We went out in the yard and got sticks and act like we were Green Beret. Man, we killed all kind of Germans and we turned rocks into grenades. We got kids now, if you said throw a rock like a grenade, they go, huh? I'm gonna go get in yard and throw one on the video. Glory. Two things wrong with that. Number one, ain't got no imagination in it. And number two, ain't got no physicality in it. And so we're getting fatter and more out of shape as the years go by. But can I tell you, that's happening the same thing in the church. Now we want video church. Why, we don't need to go to church. We can watch it on TV. Glory to God. But you ain't got a clue what that fellow on TV actually does during the week. There's a video on YouTube where one of the top evangelists is smoking a bong over in the Middle East. But y'all watched him when he blowed on people, throwed his coat over the head, and y'all thought he was a great healing man. But if he's sucking on a bong with drugs in it, he ain't a man of God. Come on, church, smile and look at me. I just blowed some of your mind. Who is it? Well, get on YouTube and you can find it. Glory. Hello? I don't know why I'm losing, y'all. I'm preaching the truth. But we've got to understand it takes more for this generation than we ever saw in the generation before. Let's face it, every time we turn around, things are getting worse. We thought it was bad when the generation of the late 60s and early 70s come along. Multiply that now, because now it's not just the drugs we had then, but even cheaper and more goofy drugs are out there now. More that are getting people locked up and tearing up more families. And we're seeing more and more people thinking they can live like they do on TV, where they're married one week and divorced the next week and then go get married again. And it's okay, it's all right. No, it's not. We need commitment in America, and we don't have it anymore. And we've got to realize, if we're going to change people today, it'll take more of an anointing than it ever took in the years gone by to break the yoke of bondage and set people free. And for that reason, we need to be on our knees saying, God, I don't want what Paul had, and I don't want last year's anointing. I need a fresh anointing, a double portion. I need an Elijah generation outpouring of God in my life. Glory. To get there, they had to go through a trip. Hello? The Bible said they left and they went to a place called Gilgal. Y'all know where Gilgal is? It's where the children of Israel first crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land. If you go there today, you'll find the rocks piled up. Well, they got one rock for every tribe. Glory. Wouldn't you hate it being one of them dudes holding the Ark of the Covenant standing in the river? With the river backed up on the side of you. While them church folks got out there and decided who was going to go get the rock, what kind of rock they had to have, what color it had to be. You think church was different then than it is now? I see them call a meeting and they're arguing. Well, do we need to get a shell rock or a regular rock? We want a brown rock or a red rock? And then they got some poor dude got to go back down there and find the rock to make everybody in that tribe happy. Smile at me. Y'all like, we ain't like that. Oh, glory to God. Then they got them all piled up. They get to Gilgal, and I can see Elijah. He's sitting there looking at the rocks, and Elijah walks up and says, why don't you stay here? Oh, it'd be awesome. You could call this the Church of the Rock, and folks would come from all over the world just to see it. And you could preach to them. What an awesome ministry you could have at the Church on the Rocks. Glory. Hello? You say, preacher, that's not how it happened. It's my story. All I know is he told him, why don't you stay here? And you know what Elijah said? As the Lord liveth and as your soul lives, I'm going with you. He said, well, I got to go down to Bethel. He said, I don't care. I'll go to Bethel. But let me tell you something, church. Gilgal is spiritual meaning. See, at Gilgal was where they rededicated themselves to God. Hello? All those people born in the wilderness who had not been circumcised and dedicated to God had to do it while they were there. Can I tell you, there's going to come a time in your life, if you want to move a God in your life, you're going to have to get in this altar, and there's going to be some things in your life you let go of, and there's going to have some dedication in your heart that you can't get any other way. And unless you're willing to go through a spiritual Gilgal and dedicate yourself to God, you will never see the move of God in your life that you want to see. But if you'll make that dedication, God's got an anointing waiting on you. If you'll make that dedication down the road, God's got something for you. Could you say amen? Somebody said, preacher, you're preaching too long. No, I'm just preaching. Glory. My early ministry, I stopped preaching one night and quit. I had a bad night. I was preaching to 200, 300 folks at Northport Church of God. And I was preaching and they had one of them pulpit mics. It was actually indirect, but I thought you had to get right up in it. And I was doing this. Like I do now, except I got this so I can walk more. Every time I went that way, the screw turned. When I went back, it caught. And all of a sudden, I'm standing there in front of all them people. Said, and I'm like, my God, I just tore up the microphone. I looked at the pastor and he's, and I'm, oh. And so I started preaching, and I reached over and grabbed another mic, and I'm working on it as hard as I can. And they were looking at me like, y'all are right now. So I quit. Man, I went to the back and I got into the office and the pastor come in and said, boy, if you ever do that again, I'll never let you preach here. I said, what did I do? Tell me. I turned them people off quick. What was it? He said, oh, no. You were tanning their hide. And they couldn't say amen because you was wearing them out. And said, while you had them down, you let them up. Don't ever quit preaching when they get quiet. I said, guess what? Y'all better start saying amen or we'll be here all night. Glory. Smile. But notice this, they left Gilgal and they went to Bethel. How many knows what Bethel is? The house of God. Glory. So they go from the place of dedication to the house of the Lord. Well, preacher, what's wrong with the house of God? Do you not realize that this church is one of the most testing places you'll ever enter as a Christian? Huh? I expect folks in the world to act like idiots. I don't expect my brothers and sisters to. Hallelujah. Glory. I got an amen myself, y'all. What are you talking about? My Bible tells me, men shall know that you are my disciples because you have love one to the other. But we're too busy shining our armor and cutting one another to fight the enemy. And it's time we get ourselves focused on what we're supposed to be doing. It ain't about how pretty your armor looks. It's about whether or not you've been in battle or not. And it's time we get focused on the fact there is an enemy out there to fight. And it's not my brother or my sister that's sitting next to me on the pew. Glory. Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching. I got to hear some amens now. Hallelujah. Or I will be here all night because I won't leave this till I get through. You say, what are you talking about? How you can't say Bethel's that place. Notice something. They get to the house of the Lord. The sons of the prophet come running up and say, he fit to drop you like a bad habit. Hello? You ever had people think they know something about you they don't know? And yet they think they got a good source. I was at Count Me one time. This guy walked up and he says, I hear you taking to church. I said, not me. You know, 35 years I evangelized and everybody thought I was taking to church every Count Meeting. You can imagine how it is. I could not believe how astonished they was when I finally heard them. I took a church. It was like, oh my God, you took a church? That's what y'all been telling me I was supposed to for years. This guy come up to me and said, you taking to church, ain't you? I heard that on Good Source. Now, church, who's a good source on what I'm doing besides me? I said, I'm not taking no church. Like, you just ain't going to tell me, are you? And he was mad because he wanted gossip. So he'd run and tell everybody. So he'd be the first to know. He said, it wasn't that important. The overseer called me on Sunday night at the Parsonage of Cody Church of God and said, Brother Stroop, you got the vote at Alabaster. I said, really? He said, yeah, don't tell anybody because I want to talk to the other two guys myself and let them know how it went, and then we'll be in touch with you. I said, not a problem. He called me back 30 minutes later. He said, you can tell anybody you want to. I said, no need. He said, why? I said, I done got a phone call from Mobile, one from Florida, one from Montgomery, and two from Tennessee. I said, everybody and their brother already knows. Glory. Church of God got a grapevine that won't wait. I got home, it was on Accelerate, a Church of God gossip center. I'm like, man, it was so bad, there was a pastor in Texas called me the next morning, Assembly of God pastor, and said, I hear you took a church. I said, how'd you find out? He said, Assembly of God pastor in Houston called him. Then I found out he had a cousin that was a Methodist preacher that told him. Word gets around. But they come running up, and that guy told me, said, you taking to church? So finally, toward the end of the week, I thought I'd make him happy. I said, hey, come here. I couldn't tell you for now, but I'll tell you, I'm going to Summerton. Some of y'all ain't caught it, but at that time, Summerton was the largest church in the Church of God in Alabama. He looked at me, he says, you ain't going to tell me, are you? I said, oh, yeah, I'm going. Just wait and see. He said, you ain't going to Summerton. I said, I ain't going nowhere. What I've been trying to tell you all week. He walked around with his lips stuck out for the rest of the week. We got folks in the church. I know something you don't know. And then he run talk about folks. And can I tell you something, church? This is something y'all need to hear. If you tell somebody something that ain't true, that somebody else told you, you know what that makes you? Huh? Can I hear the word? A liar. So, oh, I didn't know it wasn't true. But the Bible said don't bear false witness against somebody. So, you know, the best way to keep from doing that is don't repeat everything you hear like it's perfect. Glory. Oh, well, I got it on good source. Well, you know what my Bible said? If you got aught against your brother or sister, go to them. So if you got a good source, go to them. You got a better source. Oh, that's good stuff. Why is it getting quiet? Yeah. You will get more bruises and busts in the house of God from folks you thought loved you than you will from anybody out in the world because you expect it over there. But you know what the Bible said? If you got aught against your brother, you go to him. You make it right. Why? Because God can't bless you. So you take your gift, you leave it in the altar, you go to them, and you ask them forgiveness, and then you bring them with you. And what's going to happen? God's going to bless both of you. I want to tell you something, church. That's good preaching, and we need that. Come on, church. They left Bethel. They go to Jericho. The oasis. The nice place to get comfortable. Do you know what's wrong with some people in the church? You're comfortable. You know what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, and how you're going to do it, and you just enjoy it that way. Don't want nothing new or different. Can I tell you, unless you're willing to do something different every once in a while, you ain't never going to get anything but the hammock and the cool breeze. Glory. I can see Elijah taking it easy up there, man. Here come Elijah by. Boy, you look comfortable. Why don't you stay here? Sons of the prophet probably waving a flag at him. Because you may not understand this, but Elijah was somebody because who he was with. So they're over there taking care of him like he was somebody. He had it made. Can you imagine? He could have gone back and been a professor at the school of the prophets because he had trained from the top prophet. And Elijah said, why don't you stay here? I got to go to Jordan. And Elijah says, because I done figured this out. Long as God's alive and you're alive, I ain't got what I want, but if I hang around, I'm going to get it. Now, church, the Jordan River is a filthy river. It's nasty. Somebody said, now, wait a minute, preacher. I've been baptized in it, but I tried to do it as far upriver as possible. You know the Jews won't get in the Jordan River. They use it to water their crops, but they won't get in the water. They will rent you a jacket, a thing, to get baptized in. Then they'll rent you a shower, take a shower when you get out, get all that old filthy water off. Do you know the word Jordan means flowing down or filthy? Hello? You think the Jordan River is that good? It flows into a sea. You know what they call the sea? Dead Sea. Because everything gets in it, drinks it, dies. And it's got all that garbage and junk that gets in it as it's flowing down. You say, what are you talking about? If we're going to get the anointing, we got to go through some junk every once in a while. It ain't going to all be good and wonderful. Come on, church. There's going to be something you got to go through. But can I tell you something? If you can make it through Jordan, on the other side of Jordan, there's an outpouring. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't care how hard it is, church. Listen, in all my life, every time I've gotten close to a move of God, something's gone wrong in my life. Every time I got close to an outpouring of God, something blew up in my face to make me want to quit and make me want to give up. But every time I made it through Jordan, I found that on the other side of Jordan, there is an outpouring of God like I've never known before. There's a move of God like I've never known before. Can I tell you, some of us are standing at Jordan right now, and I believe this church is ready to pass through Jordan, and there's an outpouring of God on the other side, and I think it's time some of us made up our mind. I'm crossing Jordan in that way I got to, but I'm coming out for the power of God. They make it to the other side of Jordan, and notice something, the sons of the prophets walk with them down there. You got some people who go through dedication, they'll go through some persecution. They'll get out of the comfort zone every once in a while, but when it comes to really paying a price to get where God is, they're going to stop short every time and just try again. I don't know, church. Is some of you just kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired? Ready to move to something else? Then you got to go through the Jordan. They get on the other side, and about that time, Elijah turns around, and he says, what do you want? I can see him thinking, well, he's going to want my ministry. You know, I've built this thing. He's going to want it. He said, I want twice as much as you got, dude. Elijah says, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me, when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. Man, Elijah got so close they had to send a chariot by to knock him loose. Glory. Amen. Read the Bible. Chariot come through, separated him asunder, and the whirlwind come by and caught Elijah and took him up. And Elijah's sitting there looking, going, oh, man. And all of a sudden he ripped his clothes off. At just about time he ripped his clothes off, something amazing happened. Elijah's clothes, his mantle, came floating down out of the sky. Hello? How many of you understands this? The mantle may be laying there, but as long as Elijah didn't pick it up and put it on his life, it never was going to change. But when Elijah took hold of that mantle and applied it to his life, everything in him went to a different level. Could you say amen to that, church? I could see him walking back toward Jordan, and he wraps that mantle up in his hand, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he smacks that water, and the water parted, and the sons of the prophet going, oh, yeah, he's right there. Hallelujah. Oh, he's got it. Come on, church. You say, preacher, what do you believe? I believe that if you read your Bible, you'll find there were twice as many recorded miracles in Elijah's life as there was in Elijah's. I don't know about you, but he had so much anointing that when they buried him, there were some Midianites or somebody fighting, and one of the guys got killed, and they were going to put him in a sepulcher, but the enemy come up while they were there, so they stowed him in a sepulcher with Elijah. And he landed on the bones of a dead man. I was like, whoa, he come back to life and said, my God, whoa. I don't know about y'all, but I want so much anointing that when I die, folks can't even get around my casket without falling out. Glory. Come on, church. Why? Because I want God to move in my life. Now I got to ask you something, church. I want to ask you something. I've been looking at these things ever since I've been here. I've had three or four people come up, want me to anoint them and give them to them. Now, just so y'all won't get upset, I got some new prayer cloths up here. So I'm not throwing away prayer cloths, but I found a use for these tonight. See, I want these to be Elijah's mantle. I want to know how many of y'all will come and pick up that mantle and put it in your life. You say, preacher, that you're not going to just listen. I've been praying about this all afternoon when I could. And I believe with all my heart that God's touched these things so that when you pick it up, you're going to feel something. If you realize what I got in my hand, this is not just a prayer cloth. This is not just a piece of woven material. This is the mantle of Elijah. And if you pick it up, you're going to take on the anointing of Elijah for this generation. You say, preacher, I don't know. Listen, I don't want you to come up here to make me happy. I want you to come because you're looking for something. You're ready to go to the next level. You're ready to see God doing something in your life you didn't think was possible. You've dreamed about, but now you're ready to move into that level and see God do something in your life. If you're willing tonight to come pick up the mantle, it's waiting on you. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody needs to move. Somebody needs to let the power of God begin to move in their life. I believe with all my heart the mantle is falling and God is ready to touch somebody's. Hallelujah. Some of you just coming up picking up something. Get a hold of it and realize what you got. Lift it up to God and say, God, pour into me a fresh anointing. Pour into me some fresh fire. Pour into me a love like I've never had before. Let your glory come down. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, if y'all are out, just look at me. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody said, I can't bend over. Walk up here, I'll hand you one. Glory. Somebody said, what are you getting at? It's more than a cloth. Realize what you got. Realize what God's trying to do for you. Realize the power of God. God's trying to pour in your life. Some of you keep waiting on me. Wait on God. God's ready to touch. God's ready to move.